Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
Hello, welcome to the Aware Show's Neuro Summit 3. Yes, this is our third series of neuroscience because it's so good. It's so fascinating to me, and it really has every single thing to do with your behavior. Our brains control every single activity, habit, new exciting thing. Everything in our lives are controlled by our brain and our mind. So I think it's worth it to do a whole nother series on new discoveries are being made every single day around neuroscience. So I'm really excited about this because joining me is a neuroscientist, a neuroscientific researcher, and an expert in brain chemistry and in how the mind changes the brain. And Dr. Joe Dispenza is joining me. And what we're going to talk about here and the concepts that Dr. Joe is talking about will push you beyond your comfort zone. It will enable you to understand change and then to actually do. We're going to create changes in your brain right here on this particular show, which is something I'm really excited about. Welcome, my hero. Seriously, I have to share. By the way, hello, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm always happy to be with you.
I have to share with you a story, and this is why I called you my hero. We were in Bali in Thanksgiving, and with my wonderful producer and her husband, and then my family. I've shared this with my audience, but Gina, my producer, and my husband, her husband, okay, both our husbands, went swimming in the ocean. And we didn't realize the severity of the waves, but basically they went over a wave and Gina's husband, Mike, didn't come up right away because he had head planted into the bottom of the sand, breaking C1 through 5, and shattered his vertebrae in several different places. They just scattered throughout his neck. My husband did a body rescue out of the ocean. Mike was in and out of consciousness and hanging on by a tiny little thread. And so this happened just a few months ago. And we were in Bali with them. He miraculously there was a neurosurgeon who was like a top neurosurgeon on the island, operated on Mike within 5 hours, fused the vertebrae, hooks and plates and everything. And the one thing that we had with us when we were there is that my husband had downloaded your entire program onto his phone before we left. And we left that program with Mike before we left them there. It was a week later. We downloaded it onto Mike's phone. And he is walking today. He is full talking. His memory is, I'm telling you, unbelievable, miraculous healing. The neurosurgeon here said you are an absolute walking miracle. And it's because of the healing the information that he learned about all that you teach. Joe, your program was all we had, and that was his Bible for life. And I am absolutely so grateful to you and the information that you have so eloquently communicated through your programs that saved his life. And I just got to tell you how grateful I am.
Well, thank you. You made my day.
You made his life and all of our lives. And there was, you know, just, you know, the fact that Gina and Mike were so, have been practicing this information for so many years and have able enabled themselves to stay in such a high state of consciousness and learning about the connections in the brain. It's incredible. I know this isn't the first time you've heard this too, which is weird. It's the first time I've ever experienced it.
Well, you know, I never get tired of hearing those stories because more and more people at this time in history, Lisa, are waking up to their own true potential. That the moment we resign to certain concepts, certain principles that fall within the quote of normal, then we're subject to really the effects of normal. And when we don't accept, believe, and surrender to a diagnosis, and we really step outside of convention, the definition of a miracle is that it's something that happens outside of convention, whether it's religious convention or scientific convention or social convention, something right. that challenges current beliefs. And if we're able to pull it off, it will be considered a miracle. And I think more and more people are waking up to the idea that with a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of understanding, that they can really turn a battleship around or turn consequences around in their favor. And then they get to experience the truth of all of this information. And once you understand the truth, it means now you're experiencing the effects of the philosophy. And that's when you really begin to embody it.
Yes. I mean, it hasn't even been, I think, we're at 10 weeks now. He went back to work. I mean, the only thing he can't do is maybe throw a ball. He still has some hard times with putting his shirt on because of all the, you know, the neurons mm-hmm. are all, I mean, the nerves are, but he has never wavered, and Gina has not ever, ever wavered in their belief that this wasn't going to be a full miraculous healing. They held that space and never let in those thoughts of what if, even though the doctors and the research and all the statistics completely saying that your husband shouldn't be walking, he's going to suffer this, that, the other thing. I mean, she stayed fierce with her thoughts and for him as well. Yeah, and, it's all about that.
And I think, you know, the funny thing about this or the enlightening thing about it is that I don't care what religious text that you read, when you understand the principles of a miracle, you know, you're believing in thought. You're believing in a concept or an idea more than you're believing in the conditions in your body or in your external environment. And when you make thought more real than anything else, and you hold on to that vision steadfast of anything, and then you begin to emotionally embrace the outcome before it's made manifest. Your body is the unconscious mind. Does not know the difference between the experience that creates the emotion and the emotion that you're creating by thought alone. So your body is actually in that moment living in a new predictable future. And it's that emotional quotient that begins to upregulate genes in new ways. And when genes get turned on, they make new proteins, and the expression of proteins is the expression of life. And so when you have the expression of life, that's called health in your body. So the beautiful thing about Gina's husband is he didn't wait for the healing to occur to give thanks or wait for his miraculous recovery in order to feel whole. He understood that he had to create that emotion and that thought combined together to move into a new state of being so that he was teaching his brain and body emotionally what that future event could be like. And it takes the continuous signaling of the gene and the continuous impression into the quantum field that begins over and over again to change the brain and body to move out of the past and to move into the future. And people are doing it all around the world. And I love the stories like this because when people listen to it, they're not going to fall prey to flu shots or certain medications for their conditions just because that's how they've been programmed. They're going to start saying, there's a power within me that if I can contact it, and if I can get beyond my body, get beyond the conditions in my environment, get beyond my past and my predictable future, and I can surrender into this place, something miraculous is going to happen. And more people are executing it. And that's what I love about it, because when more and more people execute it well, it gives people permission to do the same.
That is absolutely true. And this applies to exactly what you just said. Anyone who has the flu, the common cold, an injury, even career moves, everything. This applies to every single thing that you are dealing with in your life right now. And because I had firsthand personal experience with that, I did. I got one of those local bugs, and it gave me 102 fever, and I said, no, this not, we're not doing this. And I had this full-on meditation with my body, and I went into this gorgeous altered state of this, I don't know if it was a dream or another dimension or what it was, but I got this vision of a healer using an energetic sword of healing and cutting through lavender fields. And this energetic sword was cutting through this lavender. And I woke up and I took a really hot lavender bath, and it broke my temperature. And I mean, just believing that this is possible, it starts with that. I mean, it starts with the fact that I believe that healing is possible. That's where all of everything starts with anything that anyone's going right now, is it's got to start with that. So let's talk about that, because belief is a big factor here.
Well, it's very interesting, because when you step into that unknown, you know, you really have to weigh a new paradigm and a new principle against an old belief. And when you step out into the unknown, you will be considered foolhardy and insane. Everybody around you will think, oh my God, she's off her medication, or something's different about her, right, or she's losing her mind. But what you're doing is you're not settling for the natural. You're asking for supernatural. Now, this is why I find it so profound. Your willingness to understand that you didn't have to accept, believe, and surrender to that condition without any analysis to program your autonomic nervous system into a very particular line of time. You didn't accept that. Instead, you said, look, let me apply a principle here. It turns out that 10 minutes of gratitude, just by you creating an elevated emotion, begins to create a very specific immunoglobulin in your immune system called immunoglobulin A.
Okay.
That particular immunoglobulin is the very first signal to make the very first defense against bacteria and viruses in your body. Hmm. So the moment you start doing that, you're upregulating a whole healthy army of white blood cells to attack any foreign invader in your body. Now, the opposite is also true. When you get frustrated or discouraged or fearful or impatient, you begin to reduce the amount of immunoglobulin A, and your body becomes more susceptible to bacteria and viruses. So you relied on your body's innate mechanisms to raise the temperature, and the reason it raises its temperature is because it's going to elevate temperature to break down the bacteria or virus that can't survive in that heat.
Okay.
And then your body's innate mechanisms take care of it. The immune system does what it does. And you take what normally would take other people a week to get through, you get through in an afternoon, because you're not accepting, believing, or surrendering to that particular condition based on your past experience. Now, that means then you're outside the box. And that's when you start to feel more empowered about yourself, and you start to realize, God, this was so simple. Because the hardest part of it, the hardest part of all of this, is actually applying it, going, okay, I'm going to try this out. And
right.
People have to face their fear of failure, or they're looking crazy, or their own self-doubt. But it's those very things that we overcome that create self-love. And that's when we start to feel more whole.
That's the ultimate to all of this, because on the other side, and you say this in this greater thinking package here, is that on the other side of your pain is your freedom. And on the other side of your fear is more love than you have ever known. And that's the bottom line, is on the other side of this, wouldn't you rather live with freedom and love? I mean, who wouldn't? Rather than pain and fear, huh? So this is the bridge, though, because it's a gap between pain and fear and freedom and love, and the exercises that you talk about here. So why did you call this greater thinking? Is that ultimately what this is? Is it just bigger picture thinking, or are you going into a quantum different reality here? What is it?
Well, I think it's all of those. I mean, when you think greater, what I'm asking people to look at, I mean, a great person in history whether it was Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Joan of Arc or the Wright brothers, they were thinking greater than the present conditions in their external
right.
environment.
Right.
If you look at any person like your Gina's husband who was faced with some tragedy or some crisis, and they had to think greater than their body. They had to think greater than their emotions
their
automatic programs and their habits. And if you really understand that most people wake up every morning and they get out of bed on the same side and they drink coffee out of the same mug and they go to drive to work the same way and they do the same things, they do that for 10 years in a row, their past, we can lift their past up and set it on their future. In other words, their future and their past are exactly the same. They're reliving their same life. So when you find the present moment and your body is no longer on autopilot into the future or emotionally in the past, and you can transcend that linear line of time to be greater, to think greater than time, linear time, is the moment you step out into the quantum field. In other words, in order for you to change something in your external environment, you have to forget about your external environment. In order for you to create some change in your body, you got to get beyond your body.
Right, right.
If you want to create some new future time that's brand new and novel, you have to get beyond your linear, predictable time. Mm-hmm. So thinking greater than your body, your environment, and time allows people to begin to understand that they already know how to do this. Everybody has done something great in their life, and when they've made up their mind to do something, and the hair on the back of their neck stood up, and they said, I don't care what's going on in my life. I don't care what people think, environment. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to do this. They're commanding the moment, and by doing that, their body is responding to a new mind. Now, that process literally changes our brain and body because the inner experience in that moment, the choice becomes an experience that the person never forgets, because experience enriches the brain and sends an emotional signal to the body. So when you make that kind of firm intention, that decision, with a high amplitude of energy, your brain and body are getting a taste of the future, and it's the body is responding to a new mind. And that's exactly what it takes for the mystic to walk across the hot coals, or the mother to lift up the car whose daughter's trapped underneath it. It's not matter that's changing matter in that state. It's energy that is the epiphenomenon of matter. They're more energy and matter in that moment. And when they're that, they're no longer living by the laws of matter. They're living by the laws of energy, and energy begins to affect matter.
That's why you have that amazing meditation. There's many, many different visualizations and meditations in this the Greater Thinking Package that talks about that space between the space, and that's what you're talking about, is going outside the constructs of our what we think is reality. One of the things that happened with Mike is he had all those nerves that were basically damaged or offline, I should say, from breaking C1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? And they can, so what he did is he, with his mind, had to retrain the nerves. The nerves weren't going to retrain themselves. They were offline. He had to, from the outer conditions, retrain the nerves what to do, and that was what your meditations enabled him to do, and that's so strong. Body responding to the new mind. Write this down.
I should write it down?
Right. No. Everyone listening, write this down. I really want people to get this. The body is responding to the mind, because for many years our bad habits are the mind telling the body to do that habit again and again.
Yeah.
So we got to reverse engineer the body responding to the new mind. You just broke that down, I know.
Well, let's say it another way, okay? Say it another way.
Thanks.
A habit is when your body is the mind. That's what a habit is. You've done something so many times that your body knows how to do it better than your brain. According to research, that's 95% of who we are is body-mind consciousness. In other words, the body's running the show. You may think you're making all your decisions with your conscious mind, but your body has been trained subconsciously. As an example, I may say to you, which way do you turn a doorknob? Which way do you turn a doorknob?
To the right.
Yeah, most people go like, I don't know, let's see. They kind of do this with their hand, right?
Yeah.
They're not asking their conscious brain to do it. Their body's making the choice. You know,
right.
you forget your PIN number, and you had a couple glasses of wine. you know, you walk over to the keypad and you look at the keypad and your fingers dial the number. That's because you practiced it so many times, your body knows better than your conscious mind. Now, 95% of who you are, the way you complain, the way you walk, your posture, the what you say, how you do things, that's all on automatic program, right? So now, in order for your body to no longer be the mind, you literally, just like an animal, like if you're training a dog or you're training a horse, you have to come out of your resting state. And when you make that decision, you're gathering all that energy. And when you gather all that energy and you're in the present moment and the decision becomes a choice that you never forget, that's the moment it's a long-term memory. And your biology, your neurocircuitry, your neurochemistry, even your genetic expression is beginning to change in that instant. Because the amplitude of energy is greater than the body as the mind, and that's the moment the body's getting a new emotional signal. Now, the antithesis of that is also true too. Most people are sitting on their couch with their, you know, with their laptop on their lap. They got their smartphone on this side. They got their iPad over here. They got their
TV in front of them.
Remote control with their TV, and they say, they go, oh, I think I'm going to change tomorrow. Now, every single cell of your body spying on your brain, it knows whether you're telling the truth or not. It's precognitive. The body's very precognitive. So you make that kind of choice, and you don't come out of your resting state. The body says, oh, my God, she's lying again. Don't worry. Relax. She's not going to change. Everything's cool. But when you say, this is it,
yeah,
that's when the body goes, oh, my God, she's serious this time. And it's that kind of firm intention that we've measured over and over again, we see that there's biological changes that take place, and the more intense the energy and more focused it is, the more prone the person is to accept, believe, and surrender to the thoughts equal to that new emotional state. And that's when they program their autonomic nervous system into a new destiny.
I just interviewed this woman. I don't know if you know a Dr. Kelly Turner. She is a Harvard researcher, and she wrote a book called Radical Remission, and it was about, and she profiled the top, well, 1,000 people who had spontaneous remissions from cancer. She called them radical remissions from cancer. And then she boiled it down to the top 9 things that all 1,000 people did, the top 9 strategies all 1,000 people did. And 7 out of the 9 were emotional techniques. The other 2 were health related. 7 out of the 9 had to do with thought, beliefs, releasing negative emotions, increasing positive emotions, had to do with, that's unbelievable to me. And, well, I guess I should say that's believable to me because I know the power of the mind.
And well, I mean, for me personally, I think I've been saying that since 1999.
Totally.
Think about this. I mean, let's just break it down for the audience. When you experience something in your life, right, anything in your external environment creates, and there's an experience. When you're in the midst of an experience, all of your 5 senses plug you into the external environment. And as your brain is gathering all this vital sensory data from what you're seeing and tasting and smelling and feeling and hearing, when that information reaches your brain, it causes jungles of neurons to organize themselves into networks and patterns. They string into place. The moment those neurons string into place, the brain makes a chemical, and that chemical is called a feeling or an emotion. So feelings and emotions are the end product of past experiences. So then you can remember the birth of your child, you can remember your wedding day, you can remember a specific funeral, graduated from college, because there's an emotional quotient that's involved in it. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
So then the sensory input that you're getting from the environment is translating into chemistry. And turns out it's that chemistry that begins to signal the gene so that you begin to adapt to the environmental condition. So 2 things.
Okay.
If you're feeling the same way every single day, it means nothing new is happening in your life. That's
okay.
Just by very definition. And if you can't think greater than how you feel, or feelings have become the means of thinking, by very nature then, if feelings are a record of the past, you're thinking in the past. And now your body then tends to think certain thoughts that make certain chemicals, and those chemicals drive certain thoughts, and those thoughts create certain chemicals. And your body now is living in the past because it's believing in the same, it's in the same environmental condition 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Mm. Now, it's that chemical feedback that we call emotions that begin to push the genetic buttons that either turn genes up for health or turn genes down for disease. So then, if the person then is signaling the same gene because they're feeling the same way, they're thinking the same way, they're making the same choices, they're demonstrating the same behaviors, they're creating the same experiences that produce the same emotions, and they look for that familiar emotion of guilt because they wouldn't know who they were if they didn't feel guilty. They look for that familiar emotion of unworthiness because unworthiness feels so familiar, they wouldn't know who they would be if they weren't unworthy. They'd rather judge themselves and judge others because if they didn't do that, they wouldn't know who they would be. So it's the redundancy of the same information from the environment then that begins to keep signaling the same gene in the same way. And if you keep doing that, the gene begins to wear out, just like taking a fax of a fax of a fax, and it makes a cheaper protein. Mm-hmm. So then when people understand then that they're living in the past and the body's being tormented emotionally because it's believing it's in the same environmental conditions, and the person says, the only person that I'm hurting with all of this anger and all of this fear or all of this pain is myself. Mm-hmm. And they say, look, I'm going to start to teach my body emotionally what my future is going to be like. And we've had people that have had cancer, that lost their husband to suicide, that lost their job, that lost their career, that had esophageal lesions, that was paralyzed from the waist down. One person. And she had a very rough past. And you know what? She began every single day to say, I'm going to teach my body emotionally what my future is going to be like. And I'm not going to allow the thoughts or the emotions to turn on the old genes. And every day she said, I'm going to get up like I had like I have an amazing life. Now, she had no reason to give thanks for an amazing life. But to the materialist, that would be very, very limited. But to the person who's living in the quantum, they understand what they're doing. And they are going to create a new emotion, and that new emotion then is literally going to begin to upregulate new genes because the body's getting new chemical information, and you're turning on new Christmas tree lights, and you're turning off old Christmas tree lights, and when that happens, the body starts making new proteins, and lo and behold, the person steps out of their past into a new future.
And many of you might say, all right, that sounds great for Mike or for this woman you're talking about, but how do I do this? How? And I'm going to tell you how. How is what Dr. Joe has put together in terms of this greater thinking package. The how is in these recordings, in Dr. Joe's explanation, very, very clearly giving demonstrations and examples of exactly what he's talking about here. But then the real true how is these meditations, because these meditations guide you into the new future that Dr. Joe's talking about. They guide you into the new you. Sometimes we don't even have the emotional vocabulary to come up with those types of things, but Joe does. And he's put these things into the, you know, he spends, the first item here is explaining all this information, and then he goes into a beautiful meditation, the Breaking the Habit of Being You meditation, and that's the beautiful one that, I mean, it just helps you get there easier and quicker rather than trying to, you said you can't retrain the brain with the brain, right? So this actually helps you getting out of your brain into your quantum and really starting to reconstruct into a new future. It gets you out of that past and it gets you into living a new future. And as Dr. Joe just explained about the neural bundles creating new networks, that's what's happening in these meditations. It physically creates new networks, imploding the old ones naturally. Just starts to implode them. Seeing great video on that. And that's what happens with item 4 or 5, is it starts to, a reinvention of yourself starts to emerge. A reinvention of you. I don't know about you, but this is so beyond worth $97. I can't even tell you. I mean, to get these tools and techniques, you spent $97 on stuff that you've never worn, maybe, in the past. This is a new brain opportunity. It's believable. I'm going to get rid of that word. It is believable that this has actually changed people's entire lives. And I've seen it. I've used it myself. I'm a believer in this, and it does take that step. And then here's the other cool thing, is that you get a live teleclass with Dr. Joe. So then you get each month, Dr. Joe is going to be doing a live teleclass with people, so you can ask questions, participate in new material, new findings, all sorts of updated information that Dr. Joe's doing. And then you get a coupon off of one of the workshops that Joe does. Now, here's the deal with the coupons is I know half of my audience is international. He speaks internationally in all countries, all around the world, domestically, internationally. And wherever that lecture is closest to you, this is a coupon to that. It gets honored at any time. So that's how that works. It's just a bonus in there. It's one of the bonuses in this particular offer. So go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Joe. Theawareshow.com/Joe. You'll be able to see the entire greater thinking. Very, very special offer there, because it's not only these recordings, it includes the meditations, which is the practical how of everything we're talking about, everything that my friend did, everything that I've done, and I'm still learning, of course, and that you can do, and you will do, by listening to these visualizations and meditations. And then gives you the discount coupon and the live telecalls with Joe, which is really cool. So the website, again, is theawareshow.com/Joe. So let me ask you about, we talked a little bit about genetic reprogramming and how all of that works, and the meditation of the space between the space. Is that, why are you laughing?
Everybody wants to know why the heck I do that.
Okay. Well, it took me about 2-3 times, honestly, listening to it to get it through. My husband listened to it once, and I got to tell you, he's listened to it many times, but he was out on a mountain bike ride, and in a beautiful, gorgeous setting. Just stay with me here, with grassy green hills, an epic sunrise, and he had this going through his headphones. And it was, he wasn't he didn't go into an unconscious place, because it really can get you there, but he's listened to it so many times, it actually uplifted him, and it was just a burned memory in his mind. We work with your material a lot, so we're veterans. I would not suggest trying that until your second or third or fourth time with that material, because it takes you to a deep space.
Look, I mean, a few things about this. I mean, I never planned on doing any of this. What I believe in is that science is the contemporary language of mysticism. And people have been asking, how do you do this? How, if your personality right. creates your personal reality, and your personality is made up of how you think, how you act, and how you feel, and if I want to create a new personal reality, I have to change my personality, why is it so hard to change? And if, you know, your thoughts create your reality, how come I keep creating the same reality? So we started really teaching these workshops and conferences based on the demand. And more people kept asking us to teach, or asking me to teach more and more classes. And I think that when you understand the science about what happens in meditation, and you understand what brain waves are, and you understand how your brain works, and you understand what is brain, what is mind, what is consciousness, and what changes the brain and the mind, and how that all works, you begin to demystify some of those concepts. And when you start to demystify them and you can assign meaning to what you're doing, you're going to get better results. So I strive very, very diligently in providing the science so that when people get to the meditation, they know exactly what they're doing in every single step, and they can put more intention behind it to get better results. I don't want anything left to conjecture, to dogma, to superstition. I'm just not that type of guy. But right. once you understand what you're doing and why, then you'll be able to sit through the process. Now, the reason that we have people focus on the space that their body's in space and the space around their body in space is the moment you become aware of, say, the space around your ears in space, the moment you do that, you're not thinking, you're sensing. And if you're sensing space
I see.
And you're not analyzing and thinking, your brainwaves begin to slow down. At the same time, if you're not focusing on objects and things and people and places You're not focusing on the particle or matter in quantum physics. You're focusing on energy and the wave and nothing. It turns out when you focus on nothing or space, your brain waves get very organized and very coherent. And when your brain is coherent, you're coherent. And when your brain is integrated, you're integrated. So we do that as a training for people to induce a certain state where they're no longer analyzing, because what separates the conscious mind from the subconscious mind is the analytical mind. And only when you understand meditation is about getting beyond the analytical mind, and that you can regulate and change your brain waves if you practice this, you'll be more prone to sit through it. Now, it's a training, because if you come to my progressive workshops or my advanced workshops, we do so many different things when people know how to focus their attention on the space around their body in space and the space their body's in space. We have disciplines and techniques and meditations to heal others. We have different things that we use to create coherence and the heart. You know, we have all kinds of things, but you have to learn the basics to be able to do that. So
okay.
That particular meditation where we have people focus on the space, when we measured, like the normal person in the United States, it takes about a minute and a half to 2 minutes for them to change their brain waves. Our students, most of them, on a collective, they do it under a minute. Now, we have people that do it in 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 9 seconds, 12 seconds, 15 seconds. They're able to close their eyes and go right into that state immediately. Now, what does that mean? Mm. It's a skill now. Mm-hmm. They know when they're there and when they're not. And just like any skill, if you practice it enough times, you'll be able to do it naturally.
Cool.
So when we go to the advanced workshops and I say, let's get to work, and I can induce a state for people, and now we're going to go into interdimensional travel, or we're going to stimulate the pineal gland to make new metabolites, or we're going to heal a body part, and you know how to rest your awareness in that place because
Wow. You've
done it enough times, it becomes very easy because you have a convergent and divergent focus. You're focusing on the particle and the wave. You're focusing on matter and energy, and it's that kind of focused attention that begins to change matter. So it's a training, but if you continue in this work, you can ask many of the advanced students. We've taken it to such a greater degree.
Wow, how exciting is that? That is brain candy for me. I mean, you operate like these magical situations. You know, I was in one of your Hay House lectures once, and you showed something really cool. It was a video, and this, I think it had to do with coherence, where the different clickometers were on different, clickometers, so, do you like my technical term here?
Okay, so that's great. They're called metronomes. That was close.
Thank
clickometers,
you.
Metronomes, sounds the same.
explain it.
So, okay, so there's when you have coherence, whether it's a group of a marching band that are all marching together, an army that's all marching together, they're in rhythm, they're in cadence. When light waves are all functioning in coherence, all in orderliness, you have a laser. When things are working in integration or orderliness, you have wholeness. When things are out of rhythm, like if you had a group of drummers that were all banging on the drums at the same time and had no rhythm, that's called incoherence. If you had a symphony that was playing music and everybody, there was no conductor, and the symphony's got no leader, and it just sounds like noise, that's incoherence. Now, you have millions and billions of neurons in your brain, and they like to function in orderliness and coherence. When you're living by the hormones of stress, when you're living by fear or anxiety or worry or guilt or shame or unworthiness or anger or hostility or aggression or violence, The long-term effects of living by those hormones of stress drive your brain into what's called high beta. It's a very high brainwave pattern because it's aroused because there's danger, so you got to pay attention to your body, to things in your environment and time. The brain's switched on, and it turns out that that's really good for the short term because you're more prone to be acute and aware. But when you turn on that mechanism for extended periods of time, and the brain is staying in that super aroused state in that high beta brainwave pattern, different compartments of the brain that should be working together start dividing against themselves. Different communities and networks of neurons, different neighborhoods, no longer want to communicate with other neurons because it's not a time to communicate. It's not a time to get together. It's an emergency. Everybody's got to take care of themselves. And so different compartments of the brain start to segregate. They become disintegrated or disorganized. And it's that disintegrated state that causes very incoherent brainwave patterns. Now the brain is out of balance. So it's like you're thinking about your daughter, you're thinking about your husband, you're thinking about your job, you're thinking about your pain, you're thinking about your weight, you're thinking about what to do. You've got all these thoughts happening simultaneously because the brain is trying to control and predict the outcomes. Now that's the 70% of the time for the human population in the Western world, they live in that state.
Yes.
Now, when you begin to open your focus, because when you're in that disintegrated state, you're focusing on objects and things because there's dangers out there. You're acute. Your senses are turned on and you're a materialist. Well, because you're focusing on matter and object and using your senses, that's reaffirming that out-of-balance state. So you close your eyes. You eliminate the environment. You put your body away. You set it down. No longer ask it to do anything. Stay right here. And you transcend time. That's the moment you become pure consciousness. That's the moment you walk through the door to the quantum field. Now, when you open your focus and you focus on energy and space, when you focus on nothing, all of a sudden the brain says the operator is out of the way. The okay. tormentor is gone.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, different compartments of the brain begin to organize. They begin to synchronize. They begin to unify. And when that occurs, what syncs together in the brain links together in the brain. And we've seen this on hundreds of our students in our advanced workshop when we measure their brains when they're opening their focus. All of a sudden, you see the front of the brain talk to the back of the brain, the right side of the brain talk to the left side of the brain, the left front talk to the back right. You see this kind of psychic union going on, and the brain starts to get more holistic. And when the brain gets whole, the side effect of that is you start feeling very joyful, and you start to fall in love with life. Now, that's the natural state of being. So I showed these pictures of these metronomes. If someone comes along and just clicks all these metronomes, and they're all incoherent, and they're all going out of balance. But I use that as a teaching tool because as you watch the video, about a minute and a half into the video, all of a sudden you start to see these metronomes starting to create rhythm and order with each other.
I see.
And by the end, all of them are synchronized. Now, towards the end, there's one little one that is insistent on being out of order with the rest. Uh-huh. And that's like when you're opening your focus and you're in meditation, you start thinking, I can't do this. This is too hard. What's wrong with me? I need to see a psychiatrist. This doesn't work. You know, that's that one neurological network that's out of balance. But if you keep opening your focus, neurons start to work in unison. And when the neurons do that, the side effect of that is a more integrated and whole state. Now, why is that important? Because when you've got a level of orderliness within you and a feeling that's correlated with coherence, you would never give up that feeling for anything outside of you. And that's what mystics talked about when they talked about unconditional love or unconditional joy or unconditional allowing. They would never trade this feeling for any person or thing. They would love them because they wouldn't give up this emotion of coherence and create incoherence in their life. Or in
yes.
their body.
That's the ultimate state of flow. That's what that is. And when you're in that zone, you defy all odds. You go beyond the measure of what you thought was possible. And that's really cool. So that's what the brain is doing when it's doing, say, these exercises on the greater thinking package, is that you get your brain trained to certain coherent brain patterns, and then those other annoying, off-balance neurons start to join the party, and they start to go into the coherence.
The voices go away.
Huh. That is a beautiful way of explaining how these meditations work.
Now, here's the beauty. Not only we know this from our research, the default mode networks in the brain, the chatter in your brain that's always saying, you can't, you know, what's wrong with you? She's more beautiful than me. He's more successful. I don't want to, you know, all of that that goes on in people's heads all the time, that voice that's talking to you. We know now that when you do an open focus meditation, what happens is the voice quiets down because those networks are turned off. Now, the beauty behind it is that when people get up and live their life, those networks are still turned off
nice.
After they did their meditation. So they're less analytical, they're less critical, they're less judgmental, they're less abrasive because they've primed their brain into a different state.
That makes sense because that's how you... I always hear the complaint of I go to the seminar and then by Tuesday I feel crappy again. this is the way that the seminar stays with you. This is the way that you actually physically change the brain chemistry, and it lasts, and it lasts, and it lasts. And then you want more of it, because then you start to see the benefits of it working in your life. This explains perfectly why people can change their entire financial situation. And what you were talking about the old pattern and living in the past, when you look at the bank account number and it happens to be low, if you continue to focus on that, it keeps you in that past. It keeps you in that number.
It reaffirms that reality.
Okay, so you're saying don't even look at it. Don't even look at that. Don't obsess over that number. Just look at the possibilities. Just stay on the possibilities. Just create the possibilities, because you're really redoing it. Like, how does this work with financial situations?
Well, we had this conversation, actually, you and I, on one of the last shows.
Cool.
Because everybody wants abundance, you know, but it's kind of interesting, because what they really want is not abundance. They want freedom. They want to do whatever they want, whenever they want, with whoever they want, as many times as they want, and have the freedom to be able to give themselves permission to not be enslaved to anyone or anything. So the intention is abundance, but the emotion then is freedom, right? So one foot in the real world, Lisa, one foot in the quantum world.
Okay.
You have to function. You can't deny the fact that you don't have money, because you have survival needs and you have bills to pay and things to do. So you do what you can in that world to keep that reality, to keep yourself in a particular state. You know, you take care of yourself. But if you were to create a new future reality, then you would have to forget about the thoughts in the midst of your creation of being in lack. You could forget about the feelings of being unworthy, because a wealthy person doesn't feel lack or unworthiness.
Right.
They feel pretty abundant. So then if you said, okay, what does abundance look like for me? Well, everybody's got their own ideas, and your brain starts to conjure up pictures. That your brain is creating a model through the frontal lobe. Now you're getting an assignment, an abstraction for the future. It's immaterial. But when you begin to focus your attention on that thought, you forget about that you have a body. You forget about your past. You forget about your future. You forget about your emotions. You forget about your identity. You forget about the place you live. You forget about whether you're a male or a female, what religion you are, what's your profession. You become nobody, no one, no thing, nowhere, and no time. That's the moment you're pure consciousness. When you're at that place of pure consciousness, the thought that you're thinking literally will become the experience. Once it becomes the experience, your brain begins to track it neurologically. Once the experience occurs, you begin to feel freedom. You begin to feel abundant. You begin to feel worthy. And the moment you begin to feel that emotion, you're teaching your body chemically what the future is going to be like, and now you're preparing your body for the future experience. So then your job then is to get up from your meditation then and maintain that modified state of being, even though you check your cupboards or your bank account and there's nothing in there. You have to be more committed to a future and not try to control or predict how the outcome is going to occur, but instead trust in the outcome, get out of the way, and allow the universe to organize in a way that's perfect for you. The moment you start to try to control it, the moment you start to try to predict it, you just return back to the old self. The new self would never think that way.
Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. All right, that I do remember, because I was in a very severe situation, and I look back, and that is no longer the case. So, again, I want to ask some questions to the audience real quick, and again, I'm going to remind you to go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Joe. That's theawareshow.com/Joe. The entire Greater Thinking Package is such a huge value. I'm just comparing it to what is it costing you not to do this? Where is your health suffering? Where is your relationship suffering? Your finances suffering? Anything suffering? Why stay in the past with that suffering? This is offering you a new reality. It's guiding you. The visualizations and meditations are your guide into a new future. It brings the new future into now. And that's the beauty of this. If you don't know how to do it, This is the how. And again, the website is theawareshow.com/Joe. We just have a few minutes here, so I want to get to some of the questions here. Is this particular person is from Brazil and is saying, how do you bounce back from thinking positively under a negative circumstance and the result ends up being negative? So a loved one is sick. You keep thinking and feeling positive thoughts that they get better, and then the cancer spreads. Great question. Oh, that's from Genova, Italy. Sorry.
Well, first of all, my work is not in the least bit about positive thinking.
Okay.
Because most people who are thinking positively are thinking positively with the 5% of their conscious mind, but they've memorized negativity for the last 25 years. They've conditioned their body to be negative because of their thoughts and emotions and behaviors. Or the person is creating a positive future with their dream board, but they feel unworthy. That's mind and body in opposition, because thoughts are the language of the brain and feelings are the language of the body. And how we think and how we feel creates our state of being. So in a case when someone is suffering from a disease like cancer, positive thinking is not going to heal the cancer. It's just not. It's going to take something more than positive thinking.
Okay.
Now, if you're thinking positively around the person and you think that that's going to help them heal, more than likely you need a greater understanding of what healing is, how genes are signaled, what it takes to change a disease, what the person's doing physically, chemically, and emotionally, the plan they're on, how severe the condition is, what stage it's in, and certain people, we all ultimately die. So it's not so much as thinking positively. It's whether that person has the understanding, the will, and the opportunity to really practice to see if they can change the condition. So when people are suffering from a disease, the best thing that we can do when they're suffering is to love them. That's the number one thing. To make them feel loved and appreciated and comforted, and to keep the idea of possibility in their mind. Once we do that, then the person has a sincere, sincere, true passion to heal and change. It takes that kind of uncompromising will to begin the process. So thinking positively is not what my work is about. Thinking positively very rarely heals any condition. There's a deepening and understanding that has to take place in order for people to really change their health. And I recommend reading You Are the Placebo. I talk extensively about what that is.
About reading the what?
My book, You Are the Placebo.
Oh, yes, You Are the Placebo. Yes, yeah, that's true. And so that's a clear, clear distinction about the difference of what you're talking about. And loving, of course, is the highest order, but it goes so much more beyond that. I mean, that's essentially, you can use this work for remote healing, can't you, is what you just said, right?
Absolutely. If you understand the quantum, if you understand how the quantum model of non-locality and quantum physics works in consciousness, the more you understand it, the more you'll accept, believe, and surrender how possible it is. And we've had people heal animals and relatives.
Wow.
But they also sat for hours in meditation, and they disciplined themselves to be greater than their body, to be greater than their identity, to be greater than the conditions in their environment, to be greater than time. They know how to get beyond themselves and get out of the way. So they've practiced enough times and healed themselves and healed people in front of them. And, of course, the next question is, well, if I healed myself of this condition and I healed this person laying down in front of me 3 months later, what's the next thing? Maybe I can heal somebody on the other side of the planet. It's the next stage, but their level of acceptance increases as they create more positive, well, more self-fulfilling experiences.
You've created, in a good way, an army of healers, essentially. It's interesting because you don't necessarily have to go find that guy on the mountaintop who has, you know, been the healer for centuries. You are creating a generation of self-made healers by learning the material that you are teaching. And I think that is a way to change the world. I really do.
I hope so. I'm doing my best.
Yeah. Is that ever been your intention?
No. I never planned on doing any of this. I'm surprised every day when I look at my life and then my staff says, oh, you've been invited to speak here, or we're doing another advanced workshop in Germany or in Mexico or in Australia, or I mean, I just
That's
trust
perfect.
The process.
Yeah, it's actually perfect because, and your story is incredible. And if you could read Dr. Joe's story of how he healed from a similar situation to Mike, but on a it was a bike or motorcycle accident, right? Car?
No, it was a bicycle. I was
bicycle.
On a triathlon.
Right. So, I mean, really has learned by default of what to do and what he did to heal his body. He shouldn't be moving or walking today, and he is too. So this is through experience, and I love the way that you came about this. You teach it in such an eloquently clear way. I have been a student of yours for a decade now, and I am a big fan. So I just want to say thank you, and I really want to encourage you listening to get this offer, and I mean this with all of my heart. I know the power of this healing material, and it's not an outside, out there, woo-woo healing. This is coming from you, but going into the quantum. It's going into the future where you can create and bring back into now. And that's, you know, the best way that I know how to say it, because you say it so much better. Just go
no,
and
but
get
let me
the
tell
whole
you
thing.
Something what I like about you, because I've seen your own personal transformation.
Yeah.
You've gone from philosopher to initiate, and you're working your way towards master. So you're initiating the philosophy. It's when we had conversations just a couple of years ago, it was very philosophical. Now you're all about doing it, and when you do it, you're like, wow, this stuff really works, and wow, I'm really empowered, and that's really the contagious part about it. I always say, you know, when people are truly changing, they stop talking philosophy. They're too busy doing it. They're too busy living it. They don't want to talk philosophy. They want to do it.
They want to do it. I have a new book coming out with A House in May, and I am really excited because it's about a near-death experience that I had and traumatic brain injury that I had, and a lot of the tools and techniques that I did are actually what you teach, but I didn't realize I was doing it at the time. Now that I look back and was able to break it down, I am able to help explain a little bit more of how that anybody can do this as well, and that's kind of my book, and it's called Becoming Aware, and I'm really excited, and I'll see you
nice.
On one of the stages at Hay House, and I know, I'm grown up.
Look
I'm grown
you.
Up.
And you know what? I think everybody already innately knows how to do this. I say that in every single one of my workshops because we have all the biological and neurological machinery to do it. And so most people wait for crisis or trauma or catastrophe or disease or injury to finally get down to applying it. My message is, why wait? We can learn and change in a state of pain and suffering, or we can learn and change in a state of joy and inspiration. And thank God people around the world are choosing the latter.
Yes, yes, we are all really starting to get it. And as I said earlier, this could really even translate to you don't ever want to be sick again. Say you never want to catch the flu again. You could literally do that.
Or you can, like, I just don't believe in germs. I just do not believe in germs. You cannot tell me that germs create disease. I don't believe that because if you ever came to my crazy, wild, integrated health clinic and saw the waiting room full of people and snot flying everywhere, and I just cannot, if I believed in germs, I would be sick all the time. I just don't believe in them. And most people have been programmed that there's little bugs that look like, you know, fat little monsters that are attacking you and trying to take you down that have your name on it, and that's just not the way it works.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So you've really not been sick in decades.
I don't believe in germs, and I don't let my energy drop.
I love it. Well, there, right then and there is the reason for you just to get this package if you have that stupid flu. So go in there and never be sick again. All right, the website again is theawareshow.com/Joe. It's called the Greater Thinking Package. We've explained enough, and the rest is up to you. So thank you so much, Dr. Joe. And I've already talked about how passionate I am about your work. And I deeply, deeply get the opportunity to thank you face-to-face right now for helping heal my friend.
You tell Michael I'm proud of him.
I absolutely will. And Gina's listening, so she'll tell him too. All right. Thank you so much. And I said enough. I just want to say thank you for listening. Your energy in this show has made this show happen. Thank you for making it all that it is. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.